You're listening to TV Tangents, a retro TV podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Natalie.
I'm Rebecca.
So today we're talking about one of my all-time favorite TV shows, Murphy Brown, which I love, and I'm so excited. Actually, side note that they're starting up a new season this September.
I saw that.
That is so exciting to me. I actually didn't start watching Murphy Brown, though, in the original syndication. I think we started watching reruns first, again, which happened to me a lot with some TV shows.
Because stuff was on after school. A lot of reruns after school.
And I feel like, once again, somehow I was able to stay up super late at night when I was growing up. And a lot of that happened. I remember Murphy Brown being on at night, too. So the same time I watched Night Court. But Murphy Brown ran from 1988 to 1998. And there were 10 full seasons on. So it was on for a really long time. And I think we started watching it, like, middle towards the end. And then I don't think I ever really watched the later episodes because I would have been well into high school and even college at that point.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been watching it in 98. But I did watch it. Let's see. I started college in 93. I started college in 93. So I would come home from class and watch it. And I wouldn't have related to it before that.
Yeah.
But I think that being in college, I was feeling grown up. And I was like, this is what the kind of career woman I'm going to be. Yeah. And I Googled Murphy Brown's age. I am 1 year older than Candace Bergen was when she started Murphy Brown, which, you know, she looks really good for her age, of course, which is not old at all.
No.
And, but they always, on all the episodes that I watched recently, they talk about Murphy being 40. So I don't know if they're generalizing that she's in her 40s.
I do know that, she's 40. I've watched a lot of the episodes recently, and she, when she got pregnant on the show, they said she was 42. So that, and that was in season four that she got pregnant. So she technically must have started
She was 40. Around. Well, I don't know. I don't know what season. So did you watch the one about the hookers?
That's where they were, the hookers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just watched that. That's so weird.
They kept saying she was 40. And that was in, like, season two.
That was season two, yeah.
Yeah, so she
would have been.
I guess it makes sense. Maybe she turned 40 in season one. I don't know. I know that Candace Bergen was 42 when she started the show.
Okay.
It's no big deal.
So she was about, her character would have been about the same age, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's great. It was like, it is funny to me now that we're doing this and I'm going back and watching so many old shows. And everybody, at some point, they say people's ages.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happening when I was watching, like, a little bit of, like, I think Family Ties one night. And he's like, I'm 38. And I was like, oh, my God, they're our age. So, yeah, I noticed that a lot about watching these episodes, that she's 40-ish. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff about her getting pregnant at an older age, so that was a big storyline. But to start out, basically, and I watched the premiere, the pilot episode, the other day, because I was thinking, oh, I gotta remember how this all went. So the premise is, like, the very beginning was she was coming back to work after going to the Betty Ford Clinic to be to get treatment for, she was an alcoholic and also, like, a chain smoker. So, you know, the rest of the whole series, it's always kind of a big thing for her. So that's talked about. But in the very first episode, that's her deal. They have, like, the big welcome back Murphy sign. And she comes in and it's funny because she talks about how she's not going to give up chewing on number two pencils. Like, that's her new vice
that's her
or whatever.
Vice.
That she goes through her office and she has all of these, like, hidden cigarettes everywhere. And she's, you know, throwing them out. And so it was interesting to see. She's just a very, you know, career-driven woman. She's basically, like, the star of the show. So the name of the TV show that they're on is called FYI. And it's a really cool premise. And, I mean, she's technically, like, the big star, I guess. She's kind of like the interviewer on the show. So there's Jim Dial, who's the lead anchorman.
He's funny.
Frank Fontana is the investigative reporter. And then when I rewatched the initial episode, I forgot that. So Corky Sherwood was actually hired to be Murphy's fill-in while she spent 30 days at the Betty Ford Clinic. So, and Corky Sherwood is, you know, former Miss Louisiana. And she comes on. And so then they're thinking, oh, I guess, well, you'll be done now. And then, of course, the ratings were so high. And then the new executive producer, who's Miles Silverberg, who is 25 when he starts out. And Murphy the whole time is like, no, really, how old are you? Do you even know who, like, you know, she starts listing off, like, groups of, you know, singers and stuff. And so she's always given Miles a hard time, but...
And Corky, there was one episode I was watching where Corky was turning 30. Mm. And she was having to... interview some high schoolers, and she, of course, was having her breakdown about turning 30. Yeah.
Yeah, she was definitely a beauty queen. They even, at the beginning, they talked about how she technically won by default, because they didn't announce her name, and then she's, like, announcing, or she's talking about it, she's like, who could have possibly known that when... I don't know if she's called her by name. She's like, when she said she loved animals, no one took her literally. And I was like, oh, no.
No.
So apparently she won by default and was Miss Louisiana. Nice. And she was always like the powder puff girl. So like her, at the beginning of the FYI, Jim would introduce what everyone was going to talk about. And Corky's was like, you know, she has tea with whoever, you know. And it was always like just little stuff like that. But yeah, the show was great. I always like watched it, and so Murphy, they addressed that where she became a, you know, later in life mother and a single mother at that. There was huge implications culturally at the time because Vice President Dan Quayle made a comment about TV basically making it sensationalizing a single mother at the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was a huge deal. And when it happened, it would have been like 91, 92. Mm-hmm. So he made a big deal about it because the baby's father didn't want to be on the show, did not want to be in the picture. So she chose to raise it alone. And that was like a big deal. And it was during a speech he gave, like, and was like, oh, you know, Murphy Brown, this and everything. And
That's silly.
Said they were mocking the importance of fathers by bearing a child alone.
First of all, single mothers are not a result of Murphy Brown.
Right.
And Murphy Brown is not going to stop single motherhood, and that doesn't make any sense. TV represents life and reality. TV doesn't create reality. That's stupid.
And it's funny to watch stuff like this later, because then you think about how that wouldn't even be a question these days if it was on TV. And the funny part is they, he was talking about family values and everything. And I remember there was a time he said something, or it was written down, and he said, you say potato, I say potato. And he spelled potato wrong.
Yes.
So I do remember that. The best part about this is Murphy Brown, the show, of course, incorporates this in the next season. So she's had the baby, and they play it part of it on TV. And they're like, is he talking about me? And like, there's a big deal about it. And so at the end of an episode, they're like, I can't believe Murphy didn't retaliate, or something along those lines. And at the very end, and when it fades out, she has a dump truck full of potatoes poured in front of, like, the gate at the White House or whatever it was to, like, and she also organized a show where they brought in various families to come on FYI the show. So it was, like, people who... you know, a single mom or a single dad or, you know, various groups of people. And they purposely, like, brought them on the show to kind of prove a point. So not only did the show do that, I mean, it was obviously culturally, too, that they addressed that, because it was kind of a weird thing that for him to pull that out and say,
well, it was
mocking
the 90s.
Fatherhood.
A lot of things went on in the 90s. Judginess went on in the 90s.
A lot of judginess, for sure.
My favorite character was... I can't remember the guy's name. He was like the janitor. Eldon.
House painter.
I loved Eldon. I think I watched that show because I thought Eldon was funny.
Yeah.
And
Eldon's great. Then again, the first episode, she's like making phone calls. Okay, you were supposed to come paint the inside of my house. Like at this point, da 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 da. She can't get him to return any phone calls. So she goes home towards the end of the very first episode. And she's... singing in her just in her house while she's opening her mail. And I think it's, I can't even think of what song it is. And he comes out of the kitchen, like he's there painting, and she doesn't think anybody's in the house, and he catches her singing, and she starts screaming, and she's like, oh my God. So then it just, their relationship just developed over time. He stayed there forever, and it was so funny because I remember also specifically when she found out she was pregnant. So it would have been like season four. So he's been there now for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Painting all over the inside of the house. And he's trying to leave and he's like, I'm done. I'm going. And she's like, well, what, you know, oh, okay. I'll see you tomorrow. And he goes, no, you don't understand. I'm done. Like, I'm completely done.
Painted the whole house.
Yeah. And she's like, what? And so they kind of have a discussion about it. And the whole episode, too, when she found out she was pregnant, when she told people, everybody had really weird reactions. Of course, the TV station, you know, Miles mm-hmm. freaks out. Frank's trying to ask her what she's going to do. Everybody, Corky's like, you're so old. There's all these different things. And then at the end of the episode, she tells Eldon, and he, like, freaks out. And he's like, this is a great thing. And it was so cute. And he hugged her.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, now I got to get to work on the nursery. So, of course, he stays. And then their relationship was always great. He ends up becoming the nanny. She goes through a bunch of nannies, and she can't find one that she likes, and no one's good enough. And, yeah, he ends up just being the nanny because he was great. With her son, anyway, who she didn't name for 4 months.
Really?
Couldn't come up with a good name. So every day she called him something new.
Just to try it out.
Yep, just to try it out.
More people should do that.
Yep.
That should be a thing.
Yeah.
And you should have a trial name when you're born.
You should. That'd be kind of cool, actually. I don't know, though, because then, yeah, you'd end up coming with something totally different. We've done that with pets before, I'm pretty sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she ends. She does end up naming him Avery after her mom, who passes away on the show.
That's a pretty name.
Yeah. And it was really cool because that was like a big deal for her after she finally figured it out. And she was big into, there was lots of good stuff. She was always big into Motown and everything. Aretha Franklin was mm-hmm. on the show one time
I remember
and sang
that.
With her. She also, when she had her baby in the hospital towards the end, she's very like, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh my God. And she's holding the baby. And someone was recording her and they're like, just do what feels natural. Mm-hmm. And so she sings, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural mm-hmm. Woman to the baby.
I know, don't make
it
me
was
cry.
So
oh,
cute.
Yes,
I don't cry. But yeah, so that was totally awesome.
What season did she have the baby in?
The very end of season 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually have been like religiously watching it as it's coming on TV. It was like right around that point. And I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this because she's going to have the baby.
I don't remember a lot of Murphy Brown, but I do remember that I watched it every day when I came home from college because I don't know if you know what I went to college for.
I don't. I don't think.
I don't know what you went to college for. Let's play What Did We Go to College For? So I wanted to go to college for English because that seems like just a natural choice.
Mm-hmm.
But my cranky high school counselor talked me out of it.
Mm.
Told me, you won't be able to get a job. Don't do that. Which is full on ridiculous.
That is full on ridiculous.
So as an alternative, I chose mass communications.
Mm.
Which is basically radio. That's better than English. I was like, okay, mass communications. And he's like, sure. I think he was just bitter.
Yeah.
I think he was a bitter man who didn't like his job, maybe. And was like, nobody wants to have an English degree.
I'll
he probably had an English degree.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So I went to college for mass communications, which is TV and radio.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to work in radio.
Yeah.
That's what I went to school for. I did not.
I did not finish college either, but I did. I went for secondary education.
Oh.
I was going to be a teacher because I really just wanted a coach.
That was
kind of my goal right out
so
of high
you
school.
Were going to be the gym coach who also teaches
something
like
random.
Health class or something.
I kind of didn't know what I was going to teach either, like, beginning classes, because I was like, oh, there's not a whole lot. I really liked history, so I was like American history. I'm like, hey, I could maybe do that. And I thought history. I was good at math until I took calculus my senior year. Then I was like, oh, I'm not so good at math.
Oh, no, I'm terrible at math.
I was pretty good at it.
I failed every single math class in college, which is why I did not continue college, because I failed every class. And now, of course, for my job, I do math.
You do math. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of switched around a little, too. Well, I changed colleges, and then I also got a job, and I was trying to think. I started then trying to take some criminal justice classes because of the field I was in working. I can't even remember. Same thing, though. Like, I tested into a math class that was, like, the easiest math class ever. It was literally, like, Algebra 1. I'm like, how did I test into this? Like, people, the class, I remember specifically, they'd be like, okay, so 2x equals 4. What is x? And everybody's like, 2.
Would you stop? You're hurting my brain.
Somebody raised their hand. Like,
no,
didn't understand.
That would be me. I did fail Algebra 1. Do you know why? Because in high school, I never did math. I took geometry and two algebra classes, and every single class, someone else did my homework and my tests.
Well, there you go.
This is why I didn't get the account.
That's a problem.
But I can still do my job just fine, and most of it is algebra. So let's move on.
True. Let's move on.
That was a great game.
Just to briefly talk about the cast, we'd already talked to Candace Bergen, played Murphy Brown, so she's awesome. She's great in that role, so she was just very...
She was a model, wasn't she? Was she a model?
I don't...
Am I mixing her up with someone else?
I think you might be mixing her. I don't think she was a model.
Forget that I said that.
Just an actress prior to that, so...
But she had she has a famous parent, correct?
Mm.
Okay, never mind. Scratch that.
Scratch that.
She does, but I don't have it here.
Okay.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job, us.
Good job, us. I love, and then Jim Dial, who's played by Charles Kimbrough, who I believe now, I was like looking them up and I didn't write down anybody's ages to remember, but I'm pretty sure Charles Kimbrough, because Candace Bergen's like 72, I think, or something like that. He's 80-ish.
Really?
And still looks good, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be on the new show. This is going to be so fun. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
My favorite part is that on the show, he called Murphy Slugger all the time.
He did.
So that was always fun.
And then, he reminds me of Sheldon, kind of, from The Big Bang Theory. I don't know if you ever watched it. He was, very serious and, you know.
He's very stuffy, I would say.
Very stuffy and serious. Very but then regimented. He would tell jokes. Things that he thought was funny, mm-hmm. and he'd just be like, ha.
And then he laughs with his little face, and he's so hilarious. I just watched an episode legit this morning because I was randomly, and his dog passed away, and they were making a big to do about it, and his wife was there, and then they were wanting him to grieve, and Murphy's like, oh my god, can we just get on with stuff? And by the end of it, they had hosted a funeral for the dog, and he went to Frank's therapist. It was just this big to do. And then they all started crying at the end and talking about previous animals. So it was so cute. But
dogs dying are sad.
Yes.
So it was sad. Hold on, while I pour myself some more
alcohol.
What are we drinking?
I know. What's that one?
Tropical Passion Fruit Moscato. Yeah. I got it at the World Market.
Nice.
It's bubbly and it's delish.
I also have a Cabernet, which is amazing. Frank Fontana, played by Joe, I don't even know how to say his last name. It's Rigobuto? I don't know how to say his last name.
I like the accent.
I see it all the time. With my accent. Calls her Murph. They're best friends. So they, and I remember this, and I haven't seen it in a while, but they always would flashback to them meeting at Phil's bar. So, of course, Phil is there too. He has the bar on the corner, apparently, from the news where everyone goes, including politicians and everything, because we should say it's set in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So they were at the bar when they met. And I think Frank was possibly interviewing for the job, or maybe she was. And they were like, oh, you don't even know. And then they started doing this song back and forth with each other. And it was super cute. So that's how they became besties. And so throughout the whole series, they're kind of each other's person and they're cute little
Work spouses.
Yeah, they're totally work spouses, which is the new thing.
And he's kind of a dog, too. There's always a guy who's a dog.
And early on, he was wearing a toupee only on the show. So, he wouldn't wear it when they're all hanging out, but he wore it on the show. And I can't remember why he stopped doing it. It was early on that he stopped doing it. And then there's Miles Silverberg, played by Grant Shaud. He was the 25-year-old, neurotic.
He was so annoying. But such a funny character.
He was. He was very funny. And he, again, was, always the object of Murphy's, digs. And she always made fun of him, and they still had a good relationship, though, of course. And then Faith Ford played Corky Sherwood, who my favorite part was when she started dating who became her husband at one point. So she starts dating, his name's Will, and Will Forrest. So she goes to Murphy's house, the night before they're getting married, or whatever it was, and she's like, Murphy, I've got cold feet. And she goes, and then something dawned on me. I was writing out my name, and it's going to be Corky Sherwood Forrest. And Murphy just died. And she's like, it's not funny. And
I remember that.
That's amazing. That was awesome. And he ends up writing a book, and there was this big to-do about it because then he was never around, and their relationship started to kind of have problems. and he gets sued by a guy who says, like, it's his story. And they go to court, and it's like, he can't, they're trying to prove, no, this was his idea. And this guy's like, no, look, I had this way back in the day. So it turns out Corky's like, I journaled every single night, and he would tell me what he was writing about. So, like, she has it all documented. So she goes to court and has to read her entire journal.
Which
is fun times. And my favorite part is as she starts reading it, she's like, gray suit, Donna Karen blouse. Like, every day she wrote what she wore that day, which was hilarious. And then she'll be like, oh, Murphy really shouldn't wear, you know, something. Oh, no. So, and they're all in the courtroom like, what? But the worst part is she's writing about her relationship with her husband. And it's very much like, he cares more about that little Dutch boy than me. And so it all kind of comes out. So, of course, he wins his case because she had documented it all.
Right.
But then they end up getting divorced because it was all sad and kind of went through all that stuff. So, again, I didn't really watch towards the end. I loved Phil. Of course, Phil was the gruffy talking guy who owned the bar that everybody went to. And he was awesome and knew everything about everybody.
As they do.
Yep. And he was the one, he was actually the one too that they referenced later, forced Murphy to go to rehab basically. Like, so, cause there was something later on where she upset him about something. And then she's like, she brought that up about how there was this guy who wouldn't let me, you know, have another drink and refused to serve me and gave me tough love. And then of course they forgive each other and
of course
love on each other.
That's how sitcoms work.
Exactly. So Murphy, I think later on, and again, more shows that I really didn't watch, but like Lily Tomlin came on later and replaced Miles' position, I believe it was. Oh. But
yeah,
again,
I didn't watch it that late.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to remember. I did find an interesting episode I watched recently. They had they were going to try to do a junior FYI. So they brought in these kids and each, there was like four of them. So there was one for each, to shadow each person.
Oh, no.
So the girl who shadows Corky is just like her. And she's like, oh my God. And then they're like all just whatever. So my favorite part is the guy who comes in, who's the anchor, is Mark Paul Gosselaar. He comes in and
he's Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell.
Yes. Sorry.
So he comes in and he's all like totally anti-Jim, but like he's supposed to be Jim. And then there's another kid who's supposed to be Frank. And then they all kind of like go with them. So Murphy didn't want to do this. She's like, I don't have time. So this girl comes in, whose name is Natalie, by the way.
Obviously.
And she's all like, oh my God, da 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 da. You know, she starts yelling right away. And Murphy's like, oh, I can get on board with this. I kind of want to be with her.
I like
her. Anyway, that was, I don't know how to say her first name. Mayim Bialik, the girl who played Blossom.
Mayim Bialik.
Yes. Okay. So it was her. So those two were both on before they became famous on their own shows on Murphy Brown, I believe, because it seems like it was right before that. Some just random episode like that. The one I think we were talking about where Murphy and Corky had to go undercover as hookers.
Oh, that was funny. First of all, everyone kept saying, like, they kept commenting on her being a 40-year-old hooker, and which I did not think was fair because first of all, she does not look 40.
No.
And you know what? 40's not old, so whatever.
And she looked amazing in her little get-up. And it was. It's like people would be like, oh, honey, you've been doing this a while. And I was like, this is just wrong. And of course, it turned into a big funny because it was all reporters there that were trying to break the same
story.
And they all figured it out before they had to, like, you know, go up to a hotel room with anybody.
I didn't understand that part. I guess they were trying to get information that they were like, they were like, okay, we're going to do it now. I'm like, I don't think that that's what you're here to do. I don't understand what's happening.
And isn't it also odd that, like, don't you think if you just started asking too many questions as a hooker about what these guys do for work? Oh, who sent you up here? Yeah. And then that would be like,
I'm a hooker and I want to know all of the details of your business. That seems normal.
That's definitely not what they do.
It definitely turns me on.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And then Miles had to go in and tell Murphy, but he took off his pimp suit to go in. So why did he put the pimp suit on in the first place?
She made him put it on. She bought it for him because how they had to dress.
Yeah.
So in the little
van. But he didn't
actually
show it to anybody.
No. She told him he had to wear it all night long. And then, of course, he went in to go get her. And then she's like, oh, I'm going to make you, like, put that on and walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. And I'm like, she always was making him do things and... I remember there was an episode where he went on vacation with either by himself or I guess there was some like annoying girl who was there with them. And they were trying to get some story about like a plane that went somewhere. I don't even know how it worked out, but Miles was stuck somewhere. He's like, I don't know what's going on. They're closing off the runway. We don't know what's happening. Mm-mm. So they're back in Washington trying to do this story, and he's on the phone with somebody, and he's like, what did you say that plane looked like again? Or whatever. And it landed where he was. And it was like some guy, or he had like a plane and he was going to blow something up, or I can't even remember it. But Miles, like, you know, earned his stripes because mm-hmm. he went out there and like talked to the guy and mm-hmm. talked him down or whatever. And it was like, they did it live on the air for FYI. And I was like, oh, Miles got to not just be like the little producer guy. He got to be like a reporter person. So, oh, one of my favorite, again, you know how I always have like a line that I remember from mm-hmm. shows, like my Night Court line. So one of my favorites is Murphy and Frank are on a plane to go somewhere, and it starts having horrible, horrible turbulence. And like, you show them, they're like holding hands, like, mm-hmm. oh my God, what's going to happen? And they're like super scared. They both like lay their heads down on their pillow. So then the next thing you see, they show up in this room, and it's like a funeral home. So then people start coming in, and they try to say hi to them, and no one can hear them.
Oh,
and no. They're like, what's going on? And towards the end of the episode, they realize they're at a funeral, and they're like, he's like, there has to be some kind of explanation. And she's like, there is, Frank, we're dead. And so they go up to the front, and they're like, wait, there's only one coffin and one urn. And so he's like, you go look. So she's in the coffin. He's like, oh, I'm in there. But she goes up and she's like, looks at herself and she's like, oh my God, who dressed me? Look at that dickie. I hate that dickie. I would be caught dead in that dickie. And now here I am, dead in a dickie. And that is one of my all time, for whatever reason, that I remember about that show, her saying that. And then, of course, while she's having that rant, Corky walks up. It was so hard to figure out what to put Murphy in. So, of course, it was her who dressed her.
But, of course, they're not dead.
No. So then they go through this whole spiel. People start making, you know, speeches. And then it doesn't seem like anybody actually cares. So they end up leaving. And then, of course, yeah, they come back to, like, oh, the turbulence on the plane. So they were imagining that while they thought they were going down.
I've had that moment.
And then the plane straightens out. And then they're both like, oh. And he's like, what were you thinking about back then? And she's like, oh, nothing. And he's like, yeah, me neither. So they, of course, were imagining their demise. But that led me to one of my all-time lines.
Which I'm,
Dad,
again,
dickie.
I'm sure I've heard you say that because I don't think I heard that on the show.
Yeah.
But I've heard it.
But I've heard it. Because I said it.
Because you said it. So who is your favorite character on Murphy Brown?
I think my favorite has to be Murphy. Mm-hmm. I love Murphy. She's just like, she's so strong. And I feel like that, every job I've ever had, like, I'm the person who wants to be, like, well, is usually in charge and, you know, goes around ordering people mm-hmm. around. So,
even though she's not actually in charge, she's just being in charge.
She's the most important person on the show, I guess. I mean, like, not the actual Murphy Brown show, but on FYI.
Right.
They kind of allude to that. So right. She really gets whatever she wants.
Right.
And she has a really strong personality. And she just always kind of did her own thing. I just relate to her in a lot of ways, too. She mm-hmm. does the whole, like, it's like, oh, it's too, you know, she's very like, oh, dating, I guess, like, kind of thing. And, yeah, so I love Murphy. She's awesome. Who's your favorite?
Is his name Miles? Is his name Miles?
The producer?
No.
Oh, Eldon. You like Eldon.
What is wrong with me? My brain today. Eldon. Eldon's my favorite.
Yeah.
He's funny.
He is very funny.
Mm-hmm. And he later wasn't he in that movie? Wasn't he in the movie Michael with John Travolta?
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Was one of the reporters. And he, you know, my wife has lips like a blowfish. He's that guy.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot all about that movie.
Oh, I love that
movie. And now that you
movie.
Just said that, I'm like, oh, my God.
I watched that movie a couple months ago.
Really?
I rented it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to because, oh,
from
my God.
From the Netflix.
I love that movie.
And, yeah, that's a good movie.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah, I love Robert Pastorelli played Eldon.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's cool.
And he unfortunately passed away.
Did he really?
Yeah. So he won't get to be on the
I didn't even know
reboot,
that.
Of course. And Pat Corley, who played Phil, and he also has passed away.
Wait, which one is Phil?
Owns the bar.
Oh, okay.
Phil. So,
and of
course, on that show, he was probably, I'm assuming he was probably in his 60s
right.
during the first run. So,
yeah.
That makes sense. Robert Pastorelli passed away. I read that recently, and I believe it was an overdose. Hmm. I think it was, they said it was accidental overdose. So, I can't remember exactly what the circumstances were.
I didn't
know
that.
That's too bad, too, because he's an awesome character.
I'm losing track. I just see everybody happy on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is.
As far as I know, that's how old they are, and that's how it stays.
That is my reality, is TV. Well, we can wrap it up then.
Wrap it up.
Have some more wine. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. We'd love it if you would leave a review and also follow us on Facebook. Be sure to tune in next week for more TV Tangents.